Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Hey, hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's a wet Wednesday.
At least here it is in Amherst. Sal joining us on the Western Hotline. And, of course, we will talk Bills football, by the way. If you have a question, comment, or opinion on the Bills, now would be a good time to join us because Sal will answer it for you. 803-0550. Sal brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Sal, we have a game to start off. You want to play a quick game?
I am always up for a game, even at 7:08 on a Wednesday morning.
All right.
I've already been playing games with Max before he goes off to school, so we're all good.
Not exactly the most scientific game, but, you know, SportsCenter's on in here. We're just, you know, hanging out. They're teasing what's coming up later on the show, and they teased the MVP talk, the race for the MVP in the NFL. And there were five players on the screen to tease this conversation in this segment. Howard, Brayton, Sal.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
who are the five players that SportsCenter pictured for their upcoming conversation on the NFL MVP?
I'm going to guess two of them, and then I'll see if I'm Tom Brady.
Yes.
You mean Tampa Brady.
And Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry's not correct.
Is it quarterbacks only, you said, or no?
I didn't say that, but I'll tell you that it is quarterbacks only.
Okay, so I didn't.
Oh, okay, okay. All right. I took a shot because of Henry's big game last week.
I'll say Dak Prescott.
Nope.
I will say Kyler Murray.
Correct. Brady.
Okay.
Kyler.
And I will
Lamar
say
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar.
Derek Carr.
No.
Mahomes.
Oh.
Thank you, Mahomes.
Yeah, I suppose he should be on the list, huh?
So that's four.
Yep. One more.
Stafford.
Correct. That's it. That's the five.
Okay.
Who's missing?
Derek Carr.
The guy that, no, well, you're talking about Josh Allen, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal, but it's just, it flashed across the screen, I see five, and I think, oh, he's, all right, you know.
Yeah, we're having this conversation 2 weeks in.
It's because the national media hates the Bills.
We're having the conversation 2 weeks in because the season's 2 weeks old, you know.
Yeah.
And we're having the conversation because 2 weeks ago, many people, including myself, picked him to win the MVP.
He was getting the most tickets bought on the betting lines.
And he certainly doesn't deserve to be in that conversation right now. So I understand what you're saying and why. And, you know, Joe devoted a lot of the Extra Point show yesterday to this talk about Allen and, you know, where you are with him right now. And when can you start to say, I'm a little really kind of getting concerned. Are you there yet? You know, Mike was interesting on this yesterday, too. I listened throughout the day. I was off yesterday. And, you know, I think Mike has found a really good spot, too, which is, you know, you can't expect him to play like he did every year, last year like he did. But at the same time, you know, I'm not worried about him suddenly being like some really horrible quarterback. At very worst, as Mike said, these are Mike's words, and I agree. He said, at worst, you can win with him, right? I mean, then you just hope that he continues to rise back to the level he was.
And at best, he carries you with his incredible, you know, natural ability, his arm talent, his ability to pick defenses apart like he did last year. Like, last year was not just, you know, the freakish physical skills, but last year was, of course, the total package.
Yeah, let me say this. You know, I don't know if I get a different I know I get a different perspective down on the field, but I know that we're all seeing the same things, right? The same things that are happening in front of our eyes. But I'm going to tell you this. I've never gotten the sense in two games down on the field, Josh Allen is holding this team back, I'll tell you that. And I'm not, I know necessarily anybody's saying that, but in case anybody is getting to that point, through two games, despite his struggles, if you will, I've never once thought they're losing because of the quarterback.
Right.
Or he's holding them back and he's not giving them a chance to win. Not even an inkling of that. And the other part of this is, guys, last week was a great example of this. Maybe not the first week, but last week was, as much as he may have struggled at times, he made some plays that no other quarterback in this league can simply make. I mean, that play to Stephon Diggs, even the throw to Dawson Knox rolling left mm-hmm. and finding him in the back of the end zone. And I would even say the throw to Emmanuel Sanders is like, that was a money throw, right? I mean, despite the fact that he had 51% completion percentage, he's missing some throws. He is still making some plays that almost every other quarterback simply cannot make.
Yeah, it's funny. Of all the things we've been talking about with Josh Allen, he's not making bad decisions, Sal. I mean, like,
no,
someone called
right.
yesterday
that's
and
exactly
said
right. yes.
he's reverting to hero ball guy. No, he isn't. I mean, he's and I agree with what Dable said. Brian Dable's asked, you were on the calls on Monday, and he talked about how, you know, if he's throwing the ball away and it's the best decisions, then good. He's not making bad decisions. He's just missing throws that we saw him hit on a regular basis last season.
Against Miami, he's missing targets too. I mean, like, there are plays where he is making the wrong decision. He is
leaving
not
some plays on the field.
Yes,
right?
He's not seeing everything that's out there.
Sure. And it goes back to, I think, didn't we have the discussion on Monday morning? I was on with you guys, and I think it goes back to, I think what's happening here to me is, okay, that defenses have had an entire offseason to prepare for the Buffalo Bills offense. Defensive coordinators are going to make their money and their name if they can stop the Buffalo Bills. They have been planning for this, okay? This is like a heavyweight fight. This is round one of a 17-game season. It's round two now, right? But however you want to phrase it, this is early in the fight. And the Bills are seeing things maybe they haven't seen. They're seeing a mix of personnel. The Steelers did something completely different than what they normally do. Now, I haven't been able to see the All-22 on Miami, but, you know, same thing. Miami's probably mixing up some coverages and doing some things. And he's not seeing everything correctly, but I think that's part of the process of the Bills are now trying to also counter and figure out, you know, how to get back to, okay, they're going to do this to us. What are we going to do? And there was a telling quote from Josh Allen after the game on Sunday. Josh Allen said, we went back to some things we were more comfortable with in the second half, whereas opposed in the first half, we were doing more game plan things. I think that's super important what he said, guys, because what he's telling you there is we're trying to counter what defenses are doing to us. And it's not normally what we do. But we have to figure out a way that they're doing something to us. And I think that's really important to think about.
Yeah, he said, right? He said something about more comfortable plays for the receivers.
Right.
Right? Something about that?
Well, maybe. Or just for him, like for the offense. Oh, okay. He's saying more things we're more comfortable with. But, right, however you phrase it, the point he's making is we're doing stuff specifically to what the defense is doing.
Yeah.
That might not be our best, like, our best assets, but we have to try and win the game. So then it gets to a point where, hey, maybe we're not seeing it right or it's not working out. We got to get back to some more stuff we feel more comfortable with later in the game. So I think that's, to me, telling because what he's really saying is defenses are doing some different things to us and we're working through this to try and figure out how to counter that now.
You know, we bring up Gabe Davis with you, and I know I think you had mentioned we talked about trying to get him more snaps. And I know last week could have been more so about coming off the injury than anything else. But in the discussion of trying to get him more snaps, the Bills went back to less 4 and 5 receiver sets and more 11 personnel. Sal, if you wanted to get Davis more snaps, would it have to be going to 4 receivers? Or how would you make it work if you wanted to do that in 11 personnel, knowing that Diggs, Beasley, and Sanders are out there? What do you do?
Take one of them off the field. I mean, really, if you want to get Gabriel Davis out there, then he's got to come out. Someone's got to come off the field. And it's probably going to be Emmanuel Sanders in that situation. So really, it kind of comes down to, you know, if they want that. One thing that people have to remember, and I think it kind of got forgotten and lost after Gabriel Davis didn't play as many snaps, and he had no targets. He was questionable to play in the game, guys. He was injured all week. I mean, while he was dealing with an injury all week, you do wonder if, hey, he's available. We're going to put him on the field, but we're not going to put a lot on his plate. It's more of a, hey, let's just kind of back off on him, make sure he's good for another week. And I wouldn't be surprised if his snap count gets ramped up a little more. But look, they clearly went to 11 personnel much more often than they have. Dawson Knox had his highest snap count of his career on Sunday, over 80%. They used him a lot. They had Tommy Sweeney on the field a few times as well. They had Devin Singletary on the field a lot. They used the one running back. They had five running backs active. Going into the game, you knew they were going to do something like this. They had five running backs active. They wanted to make sure, to me, they were buttoned up on their protection. They had a little more of an insulation to go back to the running game, to go back to protecting Josh Allen. By the way, they did. He was clean in the pocket. The only time he was really pressured was when he got out of the pocket. So if you want Gabriel Davis on the field, I think that if you're going to do it like that, it's just simply got to be at the expense of Emmanuel Sanders, and that's up to the coaches if they want to do that.
You mentioned Dawson Knox here, Sal, and we talked a lot about him in training camp, right? Some guys who it was a big year for them, Knox, Ed Oliver, Cody Ford, Tremaine Edmonds. What do you think of Knox through the first couple games? He's off to a good start.
He's had a really good first two games. He had a really good training camp in preseason. But, you know, guys, Dawson Knox could look like Travis Kelce for 5 weeks. If he drops one ball in week six, everyone's going to be on him, right? I mean, come on, let's be honest, right? If Dawson Knox looks like a Hall of Fame tight end through the first quarter of the season, and then in one game he drops a pass, he's wide open maybe for a touchdown, there's going to be a lot of criticism coming his way. He has no margin for error with the fan base. He has no margin for error for his perception on consistency catching the ball. That said, he's been really good. I thought he had a really good training camp in preseason. He missed. He dropped one ball in the Chicago game, I think it was, and he dropped one really bad one at practice that I wrote about. And that's when, like, here we go, Dawson Knox. But I'm telling you, other than those plays, I think Dawson Knox has had an outstanding start going all the way back to July.
The offensive line, of course, had a really rough day against Pittsburgh. Two-parter. They seem to be better against Miami. What did you think of the O-line, and does it appear now that is it safe to say that Cody Ford has locked down that spot?
Yeah, I think Cody Ford has won and earned that spot, and it was reflective in the snap counts on Sunday's game because he went the whole way. There were only two offensive linemen who played every one of these 65 offensive snaps. That was him and Darrell Williams. A couple guys came out late because there was some kneel downs or whatever, so they all would have, but yep. But they were all together for the entire time. And by the way, good for Deion Dawkins also to be on the field for the entire game, right? I mean, that was something we were kind of thinking about and looking at. And again, I'm going to go back to one of the things that stood out to me was after the issues that the Pittsburgh Steelers presented, without even blitzing, front four, pressure, all that kind of stuff, Josh Allen was clean in the pocket, guys. I mean, there were very few times where he was really rushed or pressured. The only time he really was when he got out of the pocket. He scrambled. A couple of times the Bills had play action and a boot, and give Miami credit. They did a nice job to coach that up. They got a guy running after him, and Josh had to get rid of the ball very quickly. I thought the offensive line played well. I mean, you look at even some of the rushing numbers. Now, granted, early in the game, things were a lot better. 46-yard touchdown helps everybody out, right? But 4.8 yards a carry for the run game, one sack, and that was after, you know, scrambling around a little bit, I think, if I remember right, and he kind of tried to get back to the line of scrimmage. So I thought they played a really good game.
Sal, with us here, 803-0550. I did want to ask you some stuff on the defense. Star, let's talk about his impact because, that's another story from the summer, him coming back after opting out. We know the Bills talked a lot about pass rush. They brought in new ends. What was his impact going to be coming back in the middle? And while we talk, I guess, with him a lot about run defense, there's a pass rush impact too because he, you know, maybe the numbers don't show it, but he had a good game against Miami. He made a difference in the middle.
Yeah, I know when it comes down to Star, it's always going to be more about, like, team numbers than it is individual numbers. We know that. He doesn't jump off the page as far as stats, but he helps the team, right? And, I mean, that's always been the analysis of Star if you want to look at him that way. And, you know, every Tuesday, guys, I put out team rankings, right, where the Bills rank in offense and defense around the league. Did you happen to see yesterday's rankings when I tweeted them out for defense?
Yeah, I looked at them, yeah.
The Bills are the second-ranked defense in the entire league in yards per game, yards per play. They're seventh in rushing yards per game and eighth in rushing yards per play. They're second in passing yards per game and first in the league in passing yards per play. They are playing at an elite level right now. Every one of them deserves credit. There's no doubt about that. Having Star Lotulelei really helps, and especially when you're in a situation where you're down in the hot sun in South Florida, you need to rotate some players in. You know, who do you want to make inactive or active? You're giving yourself options. He's played well. And again, We all know it's always been the thing on Star. You can't look at the stat sheet and say, well, he had one tackle or one sack. It's how is the defense playing overall? And he's the guy right in the middle of the front seven. So, I mean, he's got to be if he's playing really well, it's going to be reflective.
I get not a lot, but I will get an occasional tweet, maybe more so when the inactives come out on game days, about Basham not being active for the first two games. It's just a numbers thing, right? I mean, I know certainly he didn't look Epines and Rousseau look better than him in the preseason anyway, but it's a numbers thing at this point, isn't it?
It has to be, right? I mean, look, I think that you with this particular D line, it's even more of a numbers game for him. If he's on another team, he's probably playing. But guys, I mean, they're making Harrison Phillips inactive. I know Obata was dealing with an injury, whatever, but you think about some of the decisions they have to make. He's on the outside looking in. This is a guy that he's going to get his opportunity. He's going to get his shot. Somewhere down the road, someone's going to be banged up. You're going to have to play him. Maybe he works his way where they say, hey, we're going to give him a shot. He's had a really good week of practice. I think the bottom line is I would not read anything into, oh, he just isn't good enough. He, you know, I guess if you say he was good enough to crack that group, I wouldn't worry about Boogie Basham. The defensive line is just good, and they're deep, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah. Hey, do me a favor. The next time you see Matt Milano, would you tell him I really love watching him play? Is that not something the media is supposed to say to a player? I brought this up. I don't even know who the heck we were talking to. It doesn't matter, Sal. Maybe it was Murph. I don't know. Just to be able to watch a guy like that play on every day. I know he's good. This is not a surprise. We know how important he is to the defense. But yet, it seems like the more I watch him play, the more I appreciate everything about his game, how much he's able to do on the field, the various ways. I mean, it must be nice to be able to go to bed at night if you're Leslie Frazier, knowing you have a guy with Milano and his skill set that you can incorporate in many different ways into your defensive game plan.
That's right. He's a fantastic athlete. But, you know, I think the thing that people might not know about Matt, he's a really, really big studier of the game and works his tail off. Like, mm-hmm. He shows up early. He's a no-nonsense guy as far as, you know, you guys know about, like, he's a minimalist, I guess is how you say it, right? He doesn't have much. You know, he's got, like, a couple of pieces of furniture in his house or his apartment or whatever. He's got, like, the fridge is kind of barely.
He's got a TV? He has a TV.
I don't think he does.
His computer, I guess. Yeah.
Was it Jason Wolf maybe who wrote the article from the Buffalo News a couple of years ago? It's pretty interesting to go look at it. But huh. I'm not kidding you. Like, he's about football. That's what he's about. Like, Matt Milano. He cares about football and doing his job. You know, he really fits the Bills' DNA. And I think that sometimes when you're so quiet and you don't know much about a guy like that, maybe you don't understand that. But everything I've heard about him over the last year and a half, you know, since the contract stuff started and, you know, digging into what they're going to do and the reason why Brandon Bean felt really comfortable re-signing him and the reason why Matt felt like he wanted to be in Buffalo is he really has that Bills' DNA, if you will, right? I mean, this is a guy that works his tail off. And I think one thing that held him back last year was that injury, the pec injury. It was kind of, it was in and out. He had the injury. He came back. He probably came back too soon. They put him out again. You know, and then left a bad taste in everybody's mouth what the Kansas City Chiefs and Travis Kelce did to the Bills in the AFC Championship game. I think a lot of people pointed fingers at Matt Milano, and maybe some of them were deserved, you know, for whatever reason. I think there were a lot of factors that went into that, how they played that game and how they played that coverage. And I think that was a big talking point in the offseason. Mm-hmm. That game should not define Matt Milano's career. He's been in Buffalo for 4+ years. He's been really, really good from the jump, from his rookie year. He took over the starting role, maybe midway through his rookie year. Oh, who was the guy? Who was the guy that was starting in that spot? Now I remember, I forget. Who was the guy who was, it's bothering me now.
Well, if you can't remember, I'm not going to bail you out.
You'll know it. Wait.
Not the guy with the Kansas City. Raglan? No, Raglan was.
No, not Reggie.
You about to say Ramon Humber?
Ramon Humber.
Ramon Humber.
Yes.
Seriously. Yes. Jeremy's nodding and said, like, I don't know how I got that.
I knew that. Wow. Yeah.
Whew. Nice.
Ramon Humber, I believe, was the starting linebacker for a few games in 2017 until Matt Milano took over that spot for good. And my point is, ever since Matt's been in and since 2017, he's just been a really good football player. Right. And now I think you're just seeing him take it to another level over the first 2 weeks. And that's a lot of that is because of the, you know, being in this same defense. And, you know, I don't know, when I think about this defense, I just think how rare it is to have all these guys together for so long and this coaching staff together for so long. They are so in tune with the strengths and weaknesses of each of these players. right? I mean, it allows you to do so much. We talk about continuity, right? And this is where it shows up. You have so much continuity. Guys, they're drafting for specific traits that they can just put right into their defense, like Greg Rousseau, okay? Like, they're just drafting for exactly what they need to fill in the cracks, if you will, and everything just runs super smooth. And this is why continuity matters so much over the long haul, because everyone knows exactly what they're doing. The Taron Johnson stuff. Did you hear Jordan Poyer talk about Taron Johnson?
No.
And you know how phenomenal he was. And then Leslie Frazier, who was talking about Taron Johnson and how, like, he knows every little thing about this defense. He can play so fast because of that. Well, guess what? That comes with everybody being together for 4 years, right? I mean, and that's Matt Milano too.
Hey, nice promo job. Taron Johnson's going to be on the show tomorrow morning. So, nice job, Sal.
He has been. I could make an argument right now that those two guys could be the Bills' defensive MVP. You could give it to Matt Milano or Taron Johnson. That's how well both of them have played over the first 2 weeks.
All right, Mr. Capaccio, we'll let you get to work today, and we'll chat with you again tomorrow morning.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Sal.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.